In the house of the Lord. Thank you, Pastor, for this meeting. Thank you for letting us come. What a blessing it is to be here. I appreciate the preaching, everything we've heard. I appreciate Brother Taylor's message on the ant. I appreciate Brother David Mix preaching his heart to us. Isn't that wonderful? And I thank God for the missionaries. Wasn't that tremendous yesterday morning? The missionaries. Thank God for it. Amen. And I thank God for that good message just a moment ago. Reminded me I need to call my brother-in-law to go check on my dog at the house. Smokey and Sugar would appreciate it if I would go get somebody to check on them while we're gone. That reminded me. Take your Bibles, the book of Job. Job, chapter number 42. It's the book of Job. I know that it's not pronounced Job because 60% of Americans wouldn't be able to find it. Some of them wouldn't look for it. And even others would rather me read it to them for free. And I know you're tired. You said, bless God, I'm coming here to preach out of the book of Job. It's Job. So relax. Amen. Job chapter 42. And I want to share just a few moments, a thought that the Lord gave me. Job chapter number 42. I want to begin reading in verse number 1. Read down to verse number 10. Job chapter 42 and verse number 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And it came to pass that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for you have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that you have not spoken to me the thing that is right, like my servant Job. So Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, went and did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Let's bow together in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the Word of God. I thank you, Lord, for singing that sounded like singing ought to sound. And I thank you, Lord, for the preaching that was exactly like you designed for it to be. Lord, thank you for church. Church is a good idea. And Lord, we love you and we thank you. And I pray, Lord, you bless the preaching, bypass the feeble preaching, and say something to the heart of your people. You know my heart, Lord. I'd rather remain seated and silent than to stand behind this desk and to say anything, Lord, that does not benefit your people and give glory to your Son. Help us now, I pray, O Lord, and we'll thank you for it and give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I know I don't have to go into the great detail of the early chapters of the book of Job. Your Bible readers are very aware of what went on. Job got up one morning. He was the wealthiest man in all the land. The Bible said he was blessed by God. He was the wealthiest man that anybody ever knew. But he went to bed that night and he was a pauper. Didn't have a thing. He entered into a deep, dark valley of despair. Job lost his children. 7 sons and 3 daughters died at one time. Job lost all of his wealth that he had amassed over his entire lifespan. Everything was gone. His wife lost her mind. His body, he turned his health was gone. And his 3 friends came to comfort him, and they turned on him in the middle of the whole ordeal. But the worst thing about Job's trouble is that he could not find God. Up until this time in Job's life, the presence of God had been very evident. He knew God was with him. He could, can I say it like this? He could feel God. I'm glad you can feel Him. Somebody say amen. I'm thankful that you can tell when God is around. But let me say this to you, that even though you cannot feel Him, don't mean He's not there. Just because you can't see Him doesn't mean He can't see you. Honey, when you enter into a deep, dark valley and you can't find God, that don't mean God has forsaken you. Have you ever been to the place in your life where you couldn't find God? You would pray and pray, but God did not answer. You would seek God's face, but could not find Him. Brother Mark, I flipped through every page of my Bible and couldn't read a word that God would speak to my heart. I've been in times where I couldn't find Him. I couldn't pray. I couldn't get a hold of God. I couldn't enjoy church. Nobody could help me. I'd seek counsel, and it was as a mockery. And the worst part of all the trouble is I asked God, "Where are you?" Only to find no answer. You ever been there? Job was in a deep, dark valley, and he couldn't find God. And here we now come to Job chapter number 42. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen right there. Thank God he gets out of his valley. Job leaves his storm. There is light at the end of the tunnel. I'm glad to know that even though it's a deep, dark valley, there is a way out. Somebody say amen. The devil may tell you you'll never get out. And by the way, that was the ultimate goal that Satan had in mind for Job, for him to die in that valley. His goal was for him to curse God and die. Amen. Job didn't die in his valley. Job, because he didn't stay there. Amen. I'm glad to know, listen, though, even though we got to travel through valleys and storms, we don't have to live there. David did not say, "Yea, though I walk through the valley," but he said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley." He said, "I might start in it on this side, but I'm coming out on the other side." Hallelujah. What I'm trying to tell you is that you can't live in your valley. You can't stay there. Somebody say amen. Now, y'all, if y'all help me preach, this won't take long. But the longer it takes you to get warmed up to me, quit sizing me up. Amen. There's no need. All right. You can't live in your valley. Do you know what happens to people that try and stay in their valley? They become very bitter and cynical. And nobody wants to be around them. Brother Sean mentioned earlier about people who's always talking about their problems. Always talking about their problems. Somebody who lives in the valley is going to become bitter and cynical. And anything good that ever happens, they will somehow find the bad in that situation. Somebody say amen. Job was in a deep, dark valley, but he didn't stay there. He came out of his valley. Amen. I'm glad you can too. I'm going to preach a little while, just a little while, on this thought, when Job got help. Amen. The Lord turned the captivity of Job. I'll preach a little while on when that happened. Amen. Number one, I want you to see that there was, first of all, there was a glorious revelation. Look at verse number 5. He said, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee." I'm glad the Lord showed up in his valley. Hallelujah. I don't know when and I don't know how, but no matter how deep or dark your valley is, you cry out to God and He cannot resist the prayers of His children. Although He may seem to tarry, He'll show up in the midnight hour, in the darkness of your problems. He'll be there, God James. Look at what He said in verse number 2. I know that Thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholding from Thee. Ain't you glad? Thank God He finally got His eyes off of His own problems and got them on to God. You know, when you'll get your help is when you'll stop looking at everything that's wrong and find something that's right. I'm going to tell you what, everything might be going wrong out there, but I'm going to tell you about something that's right. God is right, and He ain't never been wrong. If you think God has forsaken you, then you are highly mistaken. He's never made a mistake. David said, I've been young, and I'm now old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And if David could say that back then, God will not sully his reputation with the likes of you and I. Somebody say amen. God showed up in the midst of Job's problems. Amen? Aren't you glad? And I'm going to tell you something. This next thought is a result of that revelation. He repented of himself. Amen. Look at verse number 6. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. That is exactly the result of God showing up. And what it was in the book of Job is Job was constantly making statements like, well, if God would just show up, I'd ask Him about this. Somebody say amen. You know what Job was doing? A lot of talking in this book. Somebody help me now. He was doing a lot of talking. And do you know what Job's sin was? Now, I know that the Bible said he was a perfect man. I'm glad God don't call it like it is. He calls it like it's going to be. Oh, hallelujah. I may sign my own Bible. Amen. Somebody's got to enjoy my preaching. I might as well. God, aren't you glad God don't see you like you are? He sees you like you're going to be. He sees the finished product. After you've come through the crucible of the judgment fires of God Almighty, and He's burned the dross out of your life, and you're just like Jesus in the eyes of God. He does not call it like it is. Somebody said, bless God, I call it like it is. Well, I'm glad God doesn't. God doesn't call it like it is. He calls it like it's going to be. Amen. Job's friends came to him. We'll get to that in a minute. But let me just mention that they tried to convince him of sin. They were convinced that God did not bring upon the righteous these calamities. They began to tell Job, you've got sin in your life. You've got skeletons in your closet. You've done some things that are wrong. Job, you might as well go ahead and admit what you've done wrong. And they could not convince Job of any sin. Amen. You look at Job on the outside, you couldn't find anything wrong. But there was something wrong. Somebody say amen. There's something to repent of. Amen. Honey, you might have all the things in order and everything lined up, but there's something wrong. You know what was wrong with Job? You know what Job was guilty of? He was guilty of speaking too soon. Have you ever done that? Have you ever said things too early? Come on, somebody. Job was guilty of talking about things too early. Amen. And he had to repent. Look at what he said in verse number 3. He said, excuse me. Verse number 3, I've uttered that which I understood not, things too wonderful for me. Have you ever been guilty of talking about things that you really didn't understand? You understand something about God, you can't figure Him out. He doesn't fit in your shoebox. You can't put Him under a magnifying glass and figure out the entire workings of God. And Job thought he had it all hemmed up. And he had to repent. I'm going to tell you why Job had to repent of his premature speech. It's because he was operating on inaccurate information. He said, I didn't know everything. I didn't know everything like I thought I did. But I want you to look at verse number 5 with me. Are y'all with me? He said, hallelujah. Look at verse 5. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. But now, hallelujah. Job, he's getting some help, honey. He's coming up out of that valley. He's getting up off them. You can sit there in your burnt places with your broken pieces, and you can sit there and live and die in that valley. But hallelujah, if you want to get some help, he said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. You preachers, help me now. If the book of Job is chronologically the oldest book in the Bible, am I right about it? What I'm trying to say is that Job lived before Moses climbed up into Mount Sinai and brought down the written word of God. Job did not have a Bible like you and I have. Everything he learned about God, he learned it by second-hand information. He said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. In other words, what Job learned about God was passed on from his father and his father before him. Everything he learned about God, he learned it from somebody else. Hallelujah. Job's relationship with God was based on what somebody else has told him up until this point. But now, hallelujah, God allowed Job to go through the fire. He allowed him to go into the valley. He allowed him to go through some trouble. Just so Job could experience God for himself. See, I used to think that the book of Job had nothing to do with Job. You'd think the title tipped me off. It's called the book of Job. I used to think because of chapters 1 and 2 that it was some kind of a spiritual showdown between good and evil. Some kind of a tug of war between God and the devil. There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also. Amen. Whence comest thou, Satan, the Lord said, from going up and down, to and fro in all the earth? And he says, hast thou considered my servant Job? And then God sticks the devil on Job. And I thought, it's a tug of war between God and the devil. And it's got nothing to do with Job. Let me back up and tell you that's exactly false. It's got everything to do with Job. It's got nothing to do with the devil. You see, on his best day, the devil is God's devil. Come on now. This ain't Sunday school, but y'all come help me now. Come help me now. On his best day, the devil is God's devil. And in the life of Job, he used the devil as a tool to Yes, I see the desire. I see the mindset of destruction in the life of Satan. He would love to kill and steal and to destroy. But you understand something. God used that in the life of Job in order to develop a relationship with him that was not based on what somebody else told him. I'm glad my relationship with Jesus has nothing to do with what the preacher said. I'm glad that what I've got with God has nothing to do with what my grandma told me. I'm not basing my salvation on what somebody wrote down in the front of my Bible. I've got a God inside of me, and I've experienced Him. I've walked with Him. I've talked with Him. He's real in my life. God is trying to develop Job. You remember what Satan said? Doth Job serve God for naught? And there's too many of us doing it. Too many of us serving God for what we can get out of it. Somebody say amen. And God was interested in getting Job out of the kindergarten stages where he'll worship him just because everything's going good. And get him off the free grocery crowd and get him beyond that to the place where he'll worship him in the sunshine and the rain. He'll worship him in the good times and the bad. He'll worship him when he likes it. And he'll worship him when he doesn't like it. He'll worship him when he's good. And he'll worship him when it's not good. See, God is developing a relationship with Job by allowing him to go into this valley. Amen. But now, mine eye seeth thee. Now, here's what I said all that to say this. When Job got his help, look at verse 2. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job. Say it with me now. When he prayed for his friend. You don't know when Job got some help? Say, Hear me now. I'm about to be done. Job got his help. And he got back to his place of service. You remember where we first met Job? You remember what he was doing? Why, he was up early that morning. He was out there at the old prayer altar. And it said, you know, it might be. I don't know for sure, but it might be that my children have done wrong. Job was out there praying. And that seems to be Job's ministry. It seems to me that he had the ministry of praying for other people. You know, I'm going to quote what Satan said about Job. Job chapter 1 and verse number 10. He said, you bless the work of his hands. Do you know what business Job was in? He was in the prayer business. And he prayed for other people. I'm going to tell you something, child of God. There's a place for every one of us. There's a job. Hallelujah. Job had a job. And Job's job was to pray for folks. And when Job done his job, and Job done his job like God wanted Job to do his job, then God blessed Job for doing his job. Hallelujah. You don't know how Job got blessed? He got blessed for doing his job. When Job done his job, then God would open up the windows of heaven and say, look yonder, how Job does his job. And he prayed for people. And God blessed him. And you and I have got a job. And if we'll do our job, then God will bless us. I'm not saying you have a whole lot of money, but you have something more valuable. You have the peace of God, which passeth understanding, and a joy unspeakable and full of glory. If you'll do your job like Job, he got back to his place. Sir. Up to this time right here, Job had been praying. He had been praying for himself. Now, ain't nothing wrong praying for himself. Ain't nothing wrong praying for himself. But Job's ministry, Job's job, was praying for others. I understand that Job got some bad problems. I ain't denying that. I'm not denying the gravity of the situation in Job's life. But you understand something. That when you're in your valley and you're completely consumed with your own problems, and though your problems may be great, consider that there are others that are under the judgment of God. You hear what God said to Eliphaz the Temanite? He said, I'm going to have to deal with you according to your folly. Oh, God forbid that he should have to deal with your friends according to their folly. I know things are bad in your life. I know problems are rough in your life, but there's others out there that are under the wrath of God. And if we don't get back to the place, to the ministry of praying for them, God will have no choice but to deal with them according to their folly. Yeah, he had stores. Yeah, he had a graveyard back there. His wife was back there gnawing on a pine limb somewhere. She lost her mind. Friends turned on him. She didn't have nothing and nobody. He had it better than a life after Canaanite. And them other two boys. Come on, somebody. You don't know why? They were under the wrath of God. God was about to bring the wrath of God down on them. God turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. There's three things I think it must have took for Job to pray for him. First of all, I believe it might have took some force. What I'm trying to tell you is that I think he didn't feel like praying. Have you ever been there? I mean, you know what your job is. Sometimes you don't feel like doing it. You know what it is that God wants you to do, that thing, that area, that I'm not just talking about preachers either. I'm talking about preachers and I'm talking about men and women and boys and girls. Every single one of us has a job like Job. And if we'll do that job, God will bless us. Sometimes you don't feel like it. I imagine Job didn't feel like praying for it. Are you listening? His voice come back to Job. And he's sitting there in them burnt places with them broken pieces. Amen. And he's feeling sorry for himself. He can't help but feel sorry for himself. He cursed his day. He wished he was dead. You understand the gravity of the situation Job's in? He's sitting there with all these bulls. His wife lost her mind. His friends turned his back. Everything's gone. And by the way, I didn't mention this, but in chapter 38, here comes the whirlwind. Now, most folks can't see God in the whirlwind. Man, it's quiet. Now, that usually makes me nervous. But for some reason today, it ain't. Most folks can't see God in the whirlwind. I'll be honest with you, I'm from Alabama. I'm scared death of tornadoes. Come on, somebody. There's two things we fear in the state of Alabama. That's divorce and tornadoes. Either way, somebody's losing a trailer. Can I get a witness? We're scared death of them. Hey, man. I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure that I can see God in the whirlwind. Most folks can't. But Job did. Chapter 38 and verse number 1 said, and the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. God began to talk to Job. Somebody say amen. I'm thinking, here he's sitting there in that pile of ashes. And he's scratching himself with his broken pottery. He's feeling sorry for himself. His friends have done gone. They got mad at him and left. His wife's back there somewhere foaming at the mouth. Amen. She's back at the graveyard. Hadn't slept. Can't live, can't breathe, don't know what to do. And he's sitting there, and all of a sudden, here comes the tornado. If I'd have been like Job, I'd have been like, great. I mean, here we go. Amen? As if it wasn't bad enough, here comes the tornado. Y'all are awful quiet. Y'all are from Georgia. We're from Alabama. We're scared to death of it. Here comes the whirlwind. And he's thinking, great, just finish me off. Pick me up, sling me to Tuscaloosa, break my neck. Amen. Finally it's over. God begins to talk to him out of that thing. And he's thinking, well, wonderful, wonderful. Now finally God has shown up in my life. He's supposed to give me some answers. Nope. You know, Job is a book of questions without answers. There are no answers to those questions. There are no answers. You know what you say? You say, well, I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God about that. No, you won't. You won't. 5 seconds on the street of gold, you'll forget all about every problem, every pain, every suffering. God will come to you and say, now, what was it you said you was going to ask about? You'll say, God, for the life of me, I can't remember. Have you seen my mansion? I don't even know what you're talking about. Amen. Job is a book of questions without answers. Eliphaz had questions. All them other boys had questions. Job had questions. Everybody had questions. God finally shows up and says, great. He's going to answer some of these questions. No, he brings more questions. If that wasn't good enough, God goes to talking about Behemoth and Leviathan. That's helping me. I mean, I'm sitting here hurting people. Here he comes and shows up and starts talking about Behemoth and Leviathan. Schofield said it was water buffalo, but he had a big old tail. He could drink up a river. I ain't got time to be figuring out what this is. I think maybe it's a dinosaur, but I'm scared to say it out loud for fear folks will think I'm crazy. Is the mic still on? Man, we're fellowshipping a minute. It was on, wasn't it? See, I don't know what to do with Behemoth. How's that helping, Joe? It ain't helping. And then Leviathan. How you like them apples? Here, let me help you out. We're going to talk about some of the deepest mysteries of God that we have never figured out yet. You ain't helping me. Amen. And then if that wasn't enough, here them boys comes back, and they said, hey, will you pray for us? I'm like, man, Job had to be a good man. I've been like, you got to be kidding me, man. You better get out of here. I mean, you got 7 bullets. You want me to offer them? At least you got 7 bullets, bless God. Mine got took by the Sabaeans. The Chaldeans snatched mine up and run off. At least you got 7 bullets. Pray for yourself. In fact, boys, if you really want some help, you might not always get me to pray for you. I'm liable to pray something bad on you. You might as well go down the street and get that other preacher. If I pray something loud or bad happened to you. But see, I've been sitting there praying, and God, I imagine he didn't feel like it. Amen? I say he probably had to force himself. You ever get like that? I had somebody call me one time, preacher. I had buried my mother. She's way too young to have all them health problems. And I never will forget this. I was sitting in the parsonage. Wait, that's Methodist. We're Baptist. Pastorian. I'm sitting in the pastorian of the church. I'm not Methodist. Say amen. Pastorian. Is that right? Did I get it right? I can't never remember. It's like Behemoth and Leviathan. I don't know what we're talking about. And the phone rang. Preacher, pray for me. Pray for me, preacher. Pour up out of their frame. And the problem was, their great, great grandmother has passed away. She's 104. My flesh, I want to say, what, she wrecked her Harley down there at Daytona during bike week? I mean, what finally did get her? She broke her neck doing backflips off the high dive at the nursing home. I mean, I'm like, my flesh, I want to say, let her go. Be like Elsa and let it go. I'll never pastor again, will I? I'm going, man, I got bigger problems in my little finger than you got in your whole body. You want me to cut perfume? I don't feel like it. Job didn't feel like it, but he had to force himself to get up. He had to force himself to get up and get back at his job. I said it took force. Must have took some faith. Faith, I say. Because up until this point, Job had been calling on God the entire book. God had never answered him yet. And when he did finally show up, he didn't bring him no answers, just more questions. God did not know that Job did not know that God would answer him. You see, because Job, did you hear what God said about Job in verses 7 and 8? Go to my servant Job. My servant Job will pray for you. I'll accept my servant Job. I'm a little mad at you, and I'm about to smack you upside your head. It's in the original. You got to filter through. I'm mad at you, but I love my servant Job. Did you hear all that talk? My servant Job, he'll pray for you. I don't even want to talk to you. Don't even pray. Go to my servant Job, and Job will pray for you. My servant Job, I like my servant Job. He'll pray for you, and I'll answer his prayer. But see, Job was not privy to the conversation, which is the story of his life. Wouldn't it have been better if he'd have been aware of chapter 1? When God and Satan began to talk about Job, could he not have traversed this valley a little bit better if he'd have heard God say, "Hast thou considered my servant Job a perfect man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Wouldn't Job been able to go through that a little better? But no, Job had to do what Job had to do by faith. He had to do it by faith. It took faith for Job to get up. It took faith for Job to sacrifice. It took faith for Job to pray for his friends. It'll take faith. You want to get out of your valley? It'll take faith. I say this, it took forgiveness. Not God's. He's faithful and true. Excuse me, faithful and just. I'm talking about Job's forgiveness of them. Last time they were there, they accused him of everything in the book. They chewed him up one side and down the next. Wrote him, they read him the Bill of Rights and explained to him how he was a sorry, low down, good for nothing, big, fat hypocrite, and he ought to just go ahead and admit what he's been up to, because God don't let these things happen to good people. And the Bible said when they could not convince Job of his sins, they got mad and stormed off. Last time he seen them, they were mad at him and accusing him of everything under the sun. Insult to injury. Now here they're back. Here they're back. And they're under the judgment of God. And they're asking Job to pray for him. I'm going to tell you something, honey. He had to forgive them. You can't hold a grudge against somebody you're praying for. You can't pray for somebody you're holding a grudge against. And if you want out of your valley, I don't know what your trouble is, honey, but if you want out of your problem and you want out of your trouble, forget about your trouble. Forget about your problems. Let your problems go and focus on somebody else. And listen to me, if you'll forgive them, you'll pray for them and forgive them that harmed you, you're never more like Christ, who looked down over that crowd while they hung him to that cross. Hallelujah. He prayed for his murderers before he prayed for his mother. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That first Christian martyr, Stephen, as stones began to bounce off of his head, he said, look up and see God. He seen Christ standing on the right hand of the Father. And he said, lay not this sin to their charge. Then Paul, 2 Timothy chapter number 4, he prayed for Alexander the Copperhead, Coppersmith. I do that every time. Amen. He's going to get his, bless God. Amen. He said, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. And he prayed for the... Hallelujah. He prayed for his friends that forsook him and didn't stand for him. I pray that it may not be late to their charge. You've never prayed Calvary's prayer. You've never prayed. You'll live and die in your valley unless you forgive them. The greatest form of giving is forgiving. In fact, God don't even want to hear you pray. Leave there thy gift at the altar. Go, make reconciliation with thy brother. Then come offer thy gift. I know what you're thinking. Well, they're the ones that done it, and they're the ones that got the problem. I ain't got a problem. You know what the problem with that is? Is that's a fat lie. Come on, somebody. Now, I'm going to tell this. This is the first time I ever talked about this. I had my dream church, Brother Mark. Don't put this part on the internet. This is personal. It's just for these people. I'm a dream church.